Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today, we have a feast of St. Denis and Companions. Actually, it's a memorial, but St. Denis and Companions. And I read the intro to this, and I find it quite remarkable. Denis, the principal patron of France, appears in art conspicuously bearing his own head. Tradition holds that at the request of Pope Fabian, he came to Paris where he built a chapel on an island in the River Seine. And the pagan priests convinced the Romans to arrest Denis and his fellow missionaries, whom they tortured and finally beheaded on a hill outside Paris. According to a late account, Denis then stood up. He picked up his own head and walked 2 miles to the place where he wished to be buried. Today, the glorious Abbey Church of St. Denis stands on this site, remembering these martyrs who gave themselves wholly to the arduous task of preaching the gospel in 3rd century France. I wonder, brothers and sisters, how arduous are we in preaching the gospel? You say, well, I'm not a priest, I'm not a deacon. But how about by the way we act? How about by what our priorities are in life? By the way in which we particularly relate to individual people? How Christian are we? Brothers and sisters, we look what Denis did for the faith. He was beheaded for the faith. And O God, who sent St. Denis and his companion to preach your glory to the nations and strengthen them for their mission with the virtue of constancy in suffering. See, we just want to get rid of our suffering. Every pill we could possibly take, we want to take for our suffering. But brothers and sisters, our pills aren't necessarily they can relieve and alleviate and sometimes be extremely helpful in our recovery. But the most important thing is, what do I do with it while I have this pain? What do I do with it? We want to, brothers and sisters, offer to the Lord and say, use this for the conversion of so-and-so. Use this for the married couples in my parish. Use this for the children in my parish. Whatever you declare as a need or some mission that you're doing within the parish or some group that meets to serve the parish. What am I doing to advance the gospel? I don't have people coming with hatchets to knock off my head. But my goodness, brothers and sisters, we need to preach the gospel and we shy away from it. Oh, I'm not a priest. I'm not a nun. I'm not this. I'm not that. I don't know. Start reading. Just start reading. You'll not find it not hard to understand. Yes, God brings us into a realization of some of the mysteries in which we live and walk through. But he tells us a lot. And he shows us what he wants us to do. And that's what we want to respond to, brothers and sisters. They were given the virtue of constancy in suffering. We pray that we may imitate them in disdaining prosperity in this world and in being undaunted by any trial. That's hard. It's like sometimes, you know, all we do is stub our toe and it's, oh my goodness, it's a really difficult thing. But brothers and sisters, all of us are called to suffer for the sake of the gospel. All of us. It doesn't mean you go out and look for something necessarily. It means that whatever happens that makes it difficult for you, hard for you, we want to lash out against it somehow. Pray. Pray. Lord, you know my state. You know my situation. Help me. You might be very surprised by what God does or what God brings into your life that you hadn't seen before. Just pray. Look around you. Perhaps a group of people want to form a little group to pray or to talk about an issue or just a gathering space to be together. Could you initiate that? Or could you join someone who is initiating that? We need to pray. And I don't mean it all has to be prayed. We should have some fun too. A lot of fun. But take time to pray. Take time to ask God to bless or to strengthen what you're doing. Don't just be the tail end of a thought on your way out the door. Oh, yeah, I asked God to help me. But we didn't really ask him. We said the words, but how attentive are we to what we're asking God, who hears every word we pray? Every word we pray. So it says here in the reading that Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry with God that God did not carry out the evil he threatened against Nineveh. There it is. Okay, let them get their just deserts. You know, he's after them. He prayed, I beseech you, Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I fled at first to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, rich in clemency, loath to punish. But now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. The Lord asked, have you reason to be angry? And Jonah then left the city for a place to the east where he built himself a hut and waited under it in the shade to see what would happen to the city. And when the Lord God provided a gourd plant that grew up over Jonah's head, giving shade that relieved him of any discomfort, Jonah was very happy over the plant. But the next morning at dawn, God sent a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun arose, God sent out a burning east wind, and the sun beat upon Jonah's head till he became faint. Then Jonah asked for death, saying, I'd be better off dead than alive. Well, it's a little bit difficult situation, but would you want to be praying that way? I wish to die. But for him, it was hard. But God said to him, have you reason to be angry over the plant? I have reason to be angry, Jonah answered. Angry enough to die. My goodness, he was a man of superlatives. Let me die rather than this. And then the Lord said, you're concerned over the plant, which cost you no labor and which you did not raise. It came up in one night, and in one night it perished. Should I not be concerned over Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot distinguish their right hand from their left, not to mention the many cattle? The people are ignorant. They don't know about God. God wants to reach them. And as the responsorial psalm tells us, Lord, you are merciful and gracious. And that's it. That's the difference. We're always a tit for tat. If you do this, I'm going to do this. We're always trying to get even in a certain way. And our call is to forgive. Our call is genuinely to let go, not to carry it around, not to tell other people about it, not to broadcast it. To be grateful. Be grateful. God cares. You are merciful and gracious. I call to you all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and forgiving. Do you know that? All we need to do is say, I'm sorry if we've done anything wrong. Lord, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? The Lord abounds in kindness to everyone who calls upon him. Lord, attend to the sound of my pleading. All the nations you have made shall come and worship you, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you are great, and you do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. He is our Father, Abba. He is our Father, and his Son is our Savior, saved us from hell. Brothers and sisters, that's not just an event thousands of years ago. It applies right now, in this second, today. He saved me. Do I turn to him? Do I take him for granted? Do I ask our Father for help? Do I give him the rightful place that belongs to him in my life? What am I doing? We have received a spirit of adoption that makes us sons of God, sons and daughters of God. Let us cry out, Abba, Father, Father, help me. Father, be with me. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name. May you be honored. May you be glorified. May my speech, my language, honor you, not condemn you, I won't mention some of the things we say, but it's so bad, brothers and sisters. We want to call him Father, Abba. He is. If we didn't have a good earthly father, you have a heavenly father who knows you personally. Do you know that? He knows you personally. He knows how much you weigh. He knows how old you are. He knows what you're wearing. He knows what you do. He knows what you're thinking. He knows everything about you better than you know yourself. Abba, Daddy, Father, Father, Daddy. I grew up having a wonderful, wonderful father who was always there, who taught me what to do. He had a gas station right next to our house, so his business, which was big, was close to us. He repaired a lot of cars. That was his work. And he was always good, standing by me, always with us in church, always offering what he could do to help us, always being there for us. I was very blessed with a very good father. But even if you're not blessed with a very good father, you have a heavenly father who truly is good. Don't listen to the lies where you find yourself comparing God of heaven to the father you had on earth. If your father on earth failed, your father in heaven will never fail. Turn to him. You have him. The gospel says, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. You know, I don't ask God for what I needed last week. I go to him daily. I ask him daily, what do I need today to live according to your will? Take a moment and just ask him. Don't just ask the question and then run. Take a moment. Say, Father, what do you want of me today? Show me how to be your disciple more, how to be your son, how to be your daughter. Help me to love you more today by helping to build your kingdom in some small way. Just help me, Lord, that I may do your will today. We pray every day, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. It doesn't say, give me my weekly bread or monthly bread or yearly bread. It says, give me my daily bread, because God wants us to come to him every single day. Please forgive us our sins. When you get a chance, just say, Lord, I'm sorry for this or I'm sorry for that. Bring it then to confession. But acknowledge to yourself, I've done this, I've fallen short of the glory of God. For we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, don't we? Do we forgive everyone? No, we don't. But that's what we need to do, to forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test. We want to be close to him, ready to lean on him, asking God for help. We have no other guide to eternal life, divine life, beatitude than the life of Christ, the teaching of Christ, the passion of Christ, and the prayer of Christ. The imitation of Christ is the way to love and to holiness. Thus, the Lord's Prayer taught to us by Christ is the truest of prayers. God bless you, brothers and sisters. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.